We're holding on page Samachay in Rosh Hashanah, Ois Gimel. We learned yesterday, Machlokas Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua, about various events in Jewish history, whether they happen in Nisan or in Tishrei. We said there's a number of them that everybody agrees, of course, it's just saying was in Nisan, the Rul Amit, it's Vashleim, it was Machlokas, whether Nisan or Tishrei. Everybody agrees that Rosh Hashanah, Yosef got out of jail, and the Jewish people stopped them to work in Mitzrayim. But we had a machlokas in particular about when the Ovis were born and when the world was created in Nisan or in Tishrei, meaning beginning at the end of Adar or beginning at the end of Elul, and also when the Ovis were born and passed away. So now we're going to talk about that in more detail. So we learned yesterday that we learned the basis for Rabbi Eliezer's and Rabbi Yeshua's opinions about when the world was created based on analyzing Psukim by Maisa Bereishis. And we discussed that Rabbi Eliezer gets that the Ovis were born in Tishrei. When we say the Ovis, we mean Avraham and Yaakov, Yitzchak, as we're going to go on to say, was born Pesach. Because the Pasuk calls Tishrei Yerach HaEssonim, and we said Essonim means the mighty, powerful ones, the ones who are the foundation of the whole world, which is the Ovis. So now the Gemara continues. Rabbi Yeshua, in the Minayim Shebenissen, knows the Ovis. How do we know that the Ovis were born in Nissen? Shenema, the Pasuk says, "Vayhi b'shmonim shana v'adamei shana l'tzeis b'nei Yisrael meretz Mitzrayim." In the 480th year since the Jewish people left Mitzrayim, v'shana harviyis in the fourth year, v'chodesh. In the fourth year, Bechodes Ziv, in the month of Ziv, which we're going to define, so Bechodes Ziv means Nisan, and that means Yerach Shana, or actually it's Iyar, actually the Pasuk says, that was when they first began building the first Beis Mikdash. So earlier in the Masechta, actually, the Gemara learns from that Pasuk that the months are counted from Nisan, and therefore, since it says that the Beis Mikdash was built beginning in the second month, and it also says it was in the second month of the new year of Shlomo's kingship, so we learn from that that Jewish kings' years are counted from Nisan. Anyway, the point is, it calls that month Chodesh Ziv. Yerach Shanoda by Ziv Sonei Olam, so it means that that's the month in which the radiant ones of the world were born. The word Ziv Sonei means like Ziv, means radiant. And Tosfos also points out the word Ziv, Marsha points out the word Ziv also refers to somebody of great importance. So therefore, the greatly important ones, the ones who illuminated the whole world, were born in that month. Now, so we're saying Iyar, though, the Pasuk is referring to Iyar, so how we say Nisan? So Rashi gives two explanations. And by the time Iyar began, they had already been born. In other words, you could say that Iyar is the first full month in which they were alive in the world. Or Rashi points out, both of these answers, Tosfos also gives earlier in the Masechta, that the other answer is that we have to distinguish between Nisan on the Jewish calendar and the equivalent of Nisan on the solar calendar. Namely, you have Nisan, you have the Jewish Nisan, begins with Chodesh Nisan and ends with Lamed, but then you also have a Nisan Shel Tzkufa, meaning the first 30 or 31 or so days after the spring equinox, which that takes place, according to Shmuel, it takes place in early, Shmuel Tzkufa has it in early April, astronomically it's in late March, whatever you count from there, 30 days, and often that extends into year. Sometimes, for example, you'll have Pesach will be quite early in the secular year, and therefore a considerable amount of the first month of Tekufas Nisan will extend into Iyar. So Rashi says, therefore, that's what it can mean. They were actually born in Iyar, but we're calling it Nisan because it was Nisan Shel Tekufa. Anyway, so Rabbi Yeshua says that there we see that the Ovis were born in Nisan because it calls it Bechodesh Ziv. So the Gemara asks about Ksiv Yerach HaEssonim. So what does he do with the Pasuk that refers to Tishrei as Yerach HaEssonim, where we said Essonim means the mighty, powerful ones? And he said the Gemara answers Hasim Tzkifi B'mitzvahs. He says it's not called that because the Ovis were born then. It's called that because Tishrei, it's a month that's powerful and mighty with mitzvahs. Shofar, Yom Kippur, Sukkah, Lulav, Arava, Nishamayim, Rashi catalogs all of them. So you have it's a month that's mighty and powerful, full of mitzvahs. So therefore, it's nothing to do with the Ovis. So the Ida Chaksiv Nami B'Chodesh Ziv. What about a point of Rabbi Eliezer? Why is Chodesh Nisan or Iyar rather called Ziv? And the answer is Ahum Mishum De'Isvei Ziva Le'Ilonim. Nothing to do with the Ovis, but rather because the trees have a radiance. Then they're beautiful. They're blossoming at that time, and therefore it's called Chodesh Ziv. the Amar Rav Yehuda, as in fact, Rav Yehuda says a halacha, Haiman the Nafik v'yomid Nissen, a person goes out during the days of Nissen, v'chazil ilani demalavavi, and he sees that the trees are blossoming, Omer, then he says the bracha, Baruch, after Hashem alakein amalafai lam, of course, shalai chisa ba'ilamei klum, that Hashem did not make anything lacking in his world, uvara ba'briyas toivas, and Hashem created in it beautiful creatures, v'ilanis toivas, and beautiful trees, that people should enjoy them and find them beautiful. The Gilsa the Alter Rebbe has is Lehonis Ben Bnei Adam, which amounts to the same thing. The point is that and that's Dafka during Nissan when the trees are radiant and in bloom, and therefore Rabbi Yehuda says that's why Nissan or Iyo is called Chodesh Ziv, nothing to do with when the Ovis were born. As far as halachas in this, by the way, in principle, the post can say that it doesn't have to be Nissan. It could be in Adar or in Iyar. It could be in the southern hemisphere. It would be in Elul or Tishrei, depending when the trees blossom in an area. Although, Api Kabbalah, there is an Indian that's Dafka during this. So the Gemara points out, Manda Omer ben Nissan Nodu Ovis ben Nissan Nesu. Now, Rabbi Yeshua, who holds that the Ovis were born in Nissan, he holds they also passed away in Nissan. And the opinion that says that they were born in Tishrei holds that they also passed away in Tishrei. Shenema, as the pasuk says, Ben Meir Ve'esrim Shana Anoshi HaYoyim Ve'Vemer, Moshe says on himself, I'm 120 years old today, and today is the day I'm going to pass away. So She'en Tamad Lema HaYoyim, now it didn't need to say HaYoyim, because he's talking to them today, he could just say, Ben Meir Ve'esrim Shana Anoshi. So Umah Tamad Lema HaYoyim, so what does he mean to add by that word HaYoyim? Means Hayoyim Molu Yomai Ushnoisai. Today my days and my years have been filled up. It's his 120th birthday. Lalam Dacha. This teaches you. Shachodesh Baruch Hu Yoshev Amalish Nesayim Shal Tzadikim Miyoyim Liyoyim Umechodesh Lachodesh. Hashem sits and fills up the years of Tzadikim from day to day and from month to month. In other words, that Hashem arranges it that Tzadikim or certain exceptional Tzadikim pass away on the exact day that they were born. Shenema, as the pasuk says, "As mispo yemecha amalei," Hashem says, "I will fill in your years." Tosfos points out that actually a Gemara elsewhere in Yevamos says primarily that doesn't refer to some that promise as mispo yemecha amalei is not so much primarily referring to people passing away on the exact day they were born, but rather that Hashem will fill in the time that Hashem had originally apportioned. That when a person, the Gemara has machlokas over there, is it that the amount of time that Hashem apportioned to the person when he was first conceived is that the maximum and that's it, but he could lose years from that if he doesn't deserve it, or is it the other way around, that he'll have that, and then if he does extra mice and toivim, then that can be added to that. So the Gemara mentions, according to one opinion, that's Mispa Yemecha Amalei, means Hashem is saying, I will fill in the days that you were apportioned to begin with when you were first conceived, and you won't be lacking any of those. But here, the Gemara is taking it also in the sense that it means that there are certain exceptional tzaddikim where Hashem actually makes that their years are filled in from day to day. There's a couple of things about this. First of all, we find this in connection with David HaMelech as well, and Marsha points out in Kiddushin, the word Mole is Gematria 71. So for example, you have by David HaMelech, and we're saying over here, by certain other tzaddikim of that caliber, like he reaches exactly his 70th birthday, which means he starts his 71st year, and that's the significance of the word Mole in that connection. The Pnei Yeshua points out, so why do we need two different proofs from Moshe's Hayoim and from Asmisba Yemach HaMalei? And he says, because one of them, if we only had one of them, then we would say, like we're saying in the Gemara in Yevamos, that it just means that the person is going to live out the number of years Hashem gave. On the other hand, if we only had the Pasuk by Moshe, you would say it's a one-time thing in history by Moshe. We don't necessarily find it to be true of other tzaddikim, therefore we need both Pesukim. The Rebbe talks about in Sichas in a couple of places. We find openly by the Mitzvah of the Rebbe, we find that he was born and passed away on Tes Kislev. On the other hand, by the other Rebbeim, we don't find it openly. And so the Rebbe talks about, you have certain tzaddikim where Hashem shows that for Golui, and then you have other ones where it's not, doesn't come down to Golui in our physical world, but nevertheless, the Inyan is true. The Rebbe one time talked about in connection with the Rambam, for example. He was born Erev Pesach and passed away Chof Tevis, which was 83 days between them. 83 being the number of sections of halachas in the Yad HaChazaka. So in a certain sense, his years were filled in to exactly 70 by those 83 days that are represented by the 83 sets of halachas that he wrote. Anyway, the point is that the Gemara is saying that we have to assume as a given, again, that if Avraham and Yaakov were born in Tishrei, then they passed away in Tishrei, and if they were born in Nisan, they passed away in Nisan. Now, by the way, the Gemara is not really dealing with that as far as Yitzchak. Yitzchak, we said before, everybody agrees was born on Pesach, and now the Gemara is going to work out how we know that. It never actually says in so many words anywhere how we know that Yitzchak passed away on Pesach. And in fact, the Aruch HaNer points out, after all, we know Yitzchak went blind many years before he passed away, and Onis Choshev and a blind person, Sumo Choshev Kemes, so you can say it doesn't really matter so much when he actually passed away, when he reached his 180 years, the fact that we could say the time when he became blind to that extent could be considered his death, and therefore that could have happened during Nisan, and it doesn't really matter so much the actual day that he passed away. But Pesach know that Yitzchak Minolon. Where do we know that Yitzchak was born on Pesach? And Marsha pointed out earlier that the Avraham and Yaakov are more associated with the Midas of Chesed and Rachamim, and therefore Rabbi Eliezer insists that they were born during Tishrei, because that should be the month of Hashem's Rachamim. Hashem is judging the world, but we want that it should be with Rachamim, and therefore Hashem arranged, according to Rabbi Eliezer, that the others should be born during that month. But Pesach, Pesach is more associated with Gvura, Yetzias Mitzrayim. L'chashem Agdula v'Hagvura, the Gemara says in Brachas, Agvura refers to Yetzias Mitzrayim. So therefore, it wouldn't have been appropriate for Yitzchak to be born during Tishrei, and therefore even Rabbi Eliezer agrees that he was born in Pesach. So where do we know that from? So Dichtiv, like this, the pasuk says that the Malach says to Avraham and Sarah, Lamoyed Oshevei Lecha Ka'es Chaya, or Sarah Vein. At the Yomtiv, Moyed, now Moyed means an appointed time. The Gemara is taking over here the word Moyed in the sense of the next Yomtiv. So the next Yomtiv, I'm going to return to you, Ka'es Chaya, at this time, as you'll still be alive, or the Sarah vein, and Sarah will have a son. So we have to understand, in other words, that the Malachim came to Avraham and Sarah around one Yomtiv, and they're telling him the next Yomtiv that's coming up, Yitzchak is going to be born. So we have to figure out. So when was the Malach telling this to Avraham and Sarah? Elaim of Pesach. Oh, you're talking about that he was that they visited Avraham on Pesach because Amalei Batzeres, and he's telling him the next Yomtiv coming up, which is Shavuos, Yitzchak is going to be born. How is that possible? How could you possibly give birth to a baby after being pregnant for only 50 days? So we're talking about that they visited on Shavuos, and they're saying Yitzchak is going to be born during Sukkos. Still, it would be impossible for her to have a viable baby after only 5 months. To have from Shavuos until Sukkos is only 4 months and a little bit. It's part to 5 months, but it's not enough. Evidently, it must be that he came and visited during Sukkos, and he was telling them that Pesach, the next Yom Tov, which is coming up Pesach, then the baby is going to be born. So the Gemara asks about Kati b'shita yalchi mikol yolda. Still, how is it possible that she could give birth in 6 months? Isn't a pregnancy 9 months? And the answer is Tana. Okay, we learned in a Braisa Oisa Shonim or Beres Oisa. That year was a leap year, so therefore you have an extra month to work. The Gemara asks, soif, ki madli mar yamei tuma. Still, if you deduct the days of tuma, and we know Rashi mentions that the Gemara in Bav Metzia, when it analyzes the story of the Malachim coming to Avraham and Sarah, talks about it and analyzes it in great detail. So it mentions over there, Avraham had promised the guest that he's going to bring them ve'echa pas lechem, and he tells Sarah to go and use flour to make lushi basi ugois. In the event, we don't find that he served them bread. Why? The Gemara says because Pirsa Nida, that Sarah became Nida, and therefore the bread became Tome, and therefore Avraham couldn't serve it to them. So we see that she became Nida then. So now you have to have at least 7 days for her to become Tahar. Once you count that, Batsri Lahu, then you still don't have enough. At this point, the Gemara is assuming that you can have, now we know all over Shas, you can have 7 month pregnancies, but at this point, the Gemara is assuming that 7 months means 7 full months. So mainly, you're going to say that she became pregnant on the first day of Sukkos. Then fine, if it's an Ibro, you're 7 months later, the first day of Pesach, you could just barely have that the baby is a, that the pregnancy has lasted long enough. But you have to subtract if she became Nida on the first day of Sukkos, then already she's not Tohar until at least Shemini Atzeres, and then you don't have 7 full months. Now, before we get to the answer, actually, so Tosfos and Maharsha have a lot of discussion about many different ins and outs of this. Tosfos points out that first of all, Pirkei d'Rabbeinu says that Avraham's Milah took place on Yom Kippur. So now, actually, when the Gemara is saying over here that they came on Sukkos, doesn't actually mean on Sukkos itself. We know they came on the third day of Avraham's Milah. So therefore, if the Milah took place on Yom Kippur, and that's the Pirkei d'Rabbeinu says over there, that's one of the schosim that Hashem remembers on behalf of the Jewish people on Yom Kippur, then it comes out the Malachim visited 2 days later on Yud Beis Tishrei, which is a couple of days before Sukkos. Fine, the point is, obviously they don't mean that the next Yom Tov, which is coming up 2 days from now, Sarah is going to give birth, so obviously therefore it means the next Yom Tov, which is coming up months from now, which is Pesach. Then Tosfos goes on to say, well, 1 second then. So if they came on Yud Beis and she became Nida that day, then fine, you still have room for it. There'd still be room for her to have her 7 days of Tuma and then for there to be a full 7 months of pregnancy and she could give birth on Shvi Shal Pesach or Achron Shal Pesach. So why isn't the Gemara taking that possibility up? And the answer is, Tosfos says, because Seder Olam and Mechilta explain that Yitzchak was actually born on Tesvav Nissan. Rashi brings it on the pasuk in Parshas Boy that when it says when Hashem told Abraham that the Jewish people are going to be ba'avonim be'inuayim from Avraham Eishrona, it was actually 400 years, literally day to day, because Yitzchak was born on Tesvav Nissan of the year 2048, and exactly 400 years later, Tesvav Nissan of 2448 is when they left Mitzrayim. So there's no room to say that he was born any later than Tesvav Nissan. But then Tosfos goes on to point out that actually there are midrashim that say that Rashi mentions on the pasuk as well, that actually no, the Malachim visited during Pesach, and they're telling him when they say Lamoyed, Lamoyed, Oshuvei Lacha, they don't mean the next Yom Tov, like the Gemara is saying over here, but rather they mean a year from now, Lamoyed, when the time comes around this year, then that, so that would disagree with our Gemara over here, so then in that case, so it would mean that not like Pirkei d'Rabbeinu that the Milah took place on Yom Kippur, but rather the Milah took place during Pesach, and the Malachim visited him during Pesach. And so Tosfos says, so Tosfos deals with then in that case, so according to Rabbi Eliezer, so how do we reconcile if we're saying according to Pirkei d'Rabbeinu that Abraham's Mila and the Malachim visited him were during Tishrei, how is that possible? If Hashem told him on Pesach, he's not going to wait 6 months until Tishrei to do the Mila. And so he discusses that they would hold like Rabbi Yeshua, who says, B'nissen Nivra Olam, and therefore Lamoyed Azeh can refer to, the first Yom Tov of the new year, where therefore the new year begins in Nisan. So they mean, in other words, not the next Yom Tov, like our Gemara is saying, but rather the first Yom Tov of the new year, meaning a year from now. That's Tosfos. Maharsha then further on deals with a great deal of detail about that. There's actually, by the way, printed in the Gemara, you have on the here on Rosh Hashanah Daf Yud Aleph over here. In the printed Gemara, the regular Gemara at the top of Yud Aleph Amud Beis, there's a Haga over there, a note on Tosfos that was added in some later printing that discusses the possibility that maybe we could reconcile and say, in fact, that the visit of the Malachim was in fact on Pesach, but the Milah took place later on. The visit of the Malachim took place later on during Tishrei, and discusses that in some detail. And Maharsha also goes into great detail over here, analyzing and discussing this Tosfos, and ends up saying that there's a difference. Now we know there's twice where Hashem tells Avraham that he's going to have a baby. First, Hashem tells him by his bris milah, Hashem tells him that Lamoyed Azeh Bashona HaAcheres, at this time next year, Sarah is going to have a baby. And then we have, and at the end of Parshas Lech Lecha, and then we have in Parshas Vayera, when Sarah laughs, and Hashem says that Lamoyed Oshuvei Lecha, that I'm going to return to you Lamoyed. It doesn't say Bashona HaAcheres. So therefore, Maharsha explains in some detail over here that we can say that yes, Avraham's Mila was in fact on Pesach, not like Pirkei d'Rabbeinu that it took place in Kippur, but rather it was during Pesach. The Malachim then came on Yud Zayin Nissan, but then when he says Lamoyed Osher Beilacha, he doesn't mean the next Moyed, which would be Sukkos, which would be Shavuos, as our Gemara is saying over here, because that would be impossible, but rather it means Lamoyed Hazeh would mean this next, the same Yom Tov that's going to come next year. So in any case, then the point is that so not necessarily do those Midrashim agree with our Gemara over here. That in fact we're talking from Sukkot, so as Tosfos says, from shortly before Sukkot until Pesach, it could have actually been from Pesach to Pesach. So the Gemara says, so the point is that getting back to the Gemara then, the Gemara is assuming that it was, that came Sukkot, so shortly before Sukkot, and even if it was a leap year, you don't have 7 full months once you deduct the days of Hotoma. So the Gemara answers, Omer Mazitra, Afilu Lamander Omer, you let us the test any, you let us the Kotoyin. Even according to the opinion, which the Gemara discusses in Masechta Nida, that a 9-month pregnancy means full 9 months, can have parts of 9 months. The baby born premature like that is not going to be viable. Nevertheless, Toya, let us Lashiva, Yeh, let us Limkutoyin. When it comes to a 7-month pregnancy, then it could be Limkutoyin. It doesn't have to be 7 full months, it could be parts of 7 months. Shenema, as we find by Shmuel, by He was Skufos HaYomim, the Pasuk says, after the Tkufos of days. Now, a tkufa, we just said, is a 3-month period from tkufas nisan to tkufas tamuz, and tkufas nat tamuz to tkufas tish, etc., is approximately 3 months. So, miot tkufas shtayim, when it says tkufas, it means at least 2. Or miot yomim shnayim, when it says hayomim, means at least 2. So, it means that Shmuel was born after a pregnancy of 6 months and 2 days. So, therefore, by the same token, Yitzchak could have been born after such a pregnancy as well, and therefore that leaves enough time for Sarah to become Tahar, and as long as it was a leap year, then we have enough time for the Malachim to be visiting shortly before Sukkot, for Sarah to become Nida, and then become Tahar and be able to conceive Yitzchak and give birth to him on Pesach. There's room enough for it. Because the 7 months doesn't have to be 7 full months. That note that Haggad printed at the top of Yud Aleph Amud Beis in the Gemara also points out that when you say over there, Sarah pierced a Nida, it may not have been actually that at that point is when she became pregnant. That might have been a fluke that she became a Nida, but it wasn't yet that her usefulness is restored and that she actually became pregnant yet. That may have happened later on in Tishrei, as our Gemara is saying over here. Moshe Rabbeinu was also born after a short pregnancy, right? Which is how Yocheved was able to hide him for 3 months. Although there you also have the fact that, she and Amram were separated for several months, so that also threw off the Mitzrayim's calculations. Yeah, there's places in Chassidus that it talks about where, in general, so the average pregnancy is 9 months, which is a balanced amount, because a regular person has a certain amount of zohar and a certain amount of nekeva in them. A person has the qualities of both. On the other hand, it talks about that the Ovos and Moshe and Shmuel were saying over here were all primarily from Alma de Dechora. They're basically from the world of zohar, and therefore they were born after a short pregnancy, like they don't have to spend any more time than necessary in their mother's womb. And on the other hand, it talks about Elio Anovi, where it's brought in some places he was born after a 12-month pregnancy, because he was from Alma de Nukva, so therefore like he needed as much time as possible in his mother's womb. So he was born after a 12-month pregnancy. Yeah. Yeah. spare a thought for his mother. So, by the way, the Gemara points out in Yevamos, Al Pi Halacha, we can consider a pregnancy may last as long as 12 months, which is Negeya. For example, the Gemara mentions an example in Yevamos over there, where there was a woman whose husband had gone out of town, and then 12 months after he left, and he hadn't been back all that time, she gave birth, and Rabbi Tosfa over there, one of the last Amoraim, said the baby is kosher. We don't have to assume that she was Mizana, because it is possible that it is still from her and her husband before her husband left town, because it was 12 months. In any case, the point is the Gemara has worked out how we know that Yitzchak was born on Pesach. Next, Rosh Hashanah Nifkada Sora Rocha V'Chana Menolon. Where do we know that, as we said before, both Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua agree that Sora, Rochel, and Chana were all remembered on Rosh Hashanah, meaning that Hashem decided, not that they became pregnant then, but that Hashem decided that this year they're going to become pregnant. In fact, Marsha says that based on the whole discussion before, it may be one way of looking at it is the Malachim had already told her Pesach half a year earlier, that she's going to have a baby, but Hashem didn't confirm that until Rosh Hashanah. On the other hand, Tosfos in there's a Tosfos in Bava Kamma that was a couple of weeks ago in Daf Yomi, where the Gemara pointed out over there the vote that when a person davens for somebody else and he himself needs the same thing, Hashem answers him first. And one example the Gemara gives over there is Abimelech and his whole family were suffering from something. Also Hashem stocked up all their ability to have to bear children and to do various other things that require the orifices of their body because of Abimelech kidnapping Sarah, and then Abraham davened for them, and Vayukra the king of Abimelech, and then Hashem pokered Sarah Kasher Omar, and then the pasuk says Hashem remembered Sarah as he had said. Where Tosfos explains over there that it doesn't mean that Hashem doesn't mean that she gave birth. That had already been decided months before the whole affair with Abimelech ever happened, but rather that it means that as Abraham had davened for Abimelech that it should go easy on them and they should be opened up and be able to function normally, the same way Hashem made that Sarah opened up and had a baby easily. So therefore, according to Tosfos, that's the nifkadah sarah, not so much that she's going to have a baby, but that she's going to have the baby easily, rather than with tsar leida, as most women do.
6 months.
So we're saying it was a 6 month and a little bit pregnancy, but in addition, also Tosfos explains there in Bava Kamma that it also means that Hashem decided that she's going to have an easy birth in the schus of Avraham davening for Ravi Melech.
That's clear.
What?
It's not clear.
So the Gemara over here again is saying that it could have been only 6 months. My Rosh is explaining at length, analyzing Tosfos and other sources, that it may be that from when the Malachim first came to tell her she's going to have a baby was in fact a year until she actually had the baby, but she didn't actually become pregnant until later on, until Tishrei time, as our Gemara is saying. And again, you have that Haggah in the Gemara and various other possibilities that discuss all kinds of different pros and cons in that. Anyway, the Aruch HaNer points out, according to that, you might have to say that the story with Abimelech happened quite some time before Sarah gave birth, because you would have to have then, in order for that to happen, that Hashem was saying that Hashem, that Hu Nenetzchila, that Abraham was answered first, that Sarah should have an easy, should get pregnant and have an easy birth, and was saying that was as a result of him davening for Abimelech. So it would mean, in other words, that you'd have to have that the story with Abimelech happened the previous year, and then Rosh Hashanah, Hashem had decided that during the coming year that's going to happen, and Abraham is going to end up davening for Abimelech, and therefore Sarah is going to have an easy birth, and now we're saying that all of that in fact happened. Anyway, so how do we know that it was davka Rosh Hashanah? So the answer is, Amar Rav Elazar, Asya Zechira Zechira, Ba'asya Pekida Pekida. Because we have we make a Gzela Shava on the word Zechira, which means remembering, and also on the word Pekida, which is another word for remembering. They're both different words for Hashem remembering. One has a more practical, one is that it that's remembering, and the other one has a more practical effect. There's different nuances. Asis Chira Schira, Ksiba Berachel by Yizkor of the Kinas Rachel. It says Hashem remembered Rachel and she became pregnant. Ochtiba Bachana by Yizkore Hashem. By Chana, it also says that Hashem remembered her. And then in turn, Ba'asis Schira Schira, Rosh Hashanah. And in turn, we make a Zera Shava on that word Schira from Rosh Hashanah, Dichtiv Zichr and Trua Mikra Chodesh. There's a remembrance of Trua. So we see Hashem is with, and Rosh Hashanah is when Hashem remembers people, Kavyachel, and therefore that's the time when he remembered Rachel and Chana. As far as Va'asya Pkida Pkida, as far as Sarah, we learn by the word Pkida, Ktiba B'Sarah V'Hashem Pokad Sarah Kasha Amar. By Sarah, it says Hashem remembered Sarah as he had said. Uchtiba B'Chana, Kifakan Hashem Aschana. By Chana, it uses the expression later on. She had other children after Shmuel, and the pasuk says that Hashem was poiked her. So we see, therefore, that Marsha points out, all of them were naturally infertile. All of them, Hashem, all of Zichronim Lefnei Hashem, that Hashem, the remembrance came up before Hashem, that he should change their teva and their mazel, that they should be able to have children. So all of that happened on Rosh Hashanah. Which is, by the way, why we read the story of Chana as the Haftarah of the first day of Rosh Hashanah. That's why we read the story of Hashem Pokad Asara the first day of Rosh Hashanah as well. And as far as Rachel, we mentioned her in Haftarah, the second day of Rosh Hashanah, Rachel Mavaka Abanel. So all three of them are in fact mentioned in the Kriyas and Haftarahs of Rosh Hashanah. The Ramah Mifano points out, I mean, you have other examples as well. You have the Isha Shunamis was also childless for many years, and Hashem finally gave her a child. There's a couple of other examples in Tanakh as well. And he says, yeah, but those was because of a specific maisa they did. For example, the Isha Shunamis, she and her husband did tremendous achnosis urchim for Elisha, and in the course of that, they had a baby. It's different over here, where it was in general because of their tzidkur. not specifically because of any one particular thing that we can point to that they did that made them more worthy of having a child. Where do we see that Yosef got out of jail on Rosh Hashanah? The pasuk says, "Tiku v'choy the shofar b'kesel yemchagenu." Blow the shofar on the new moon, on the kesa of the day of our Yom Tov, where we learned previously that kesa means when the moon is concealed, or it means that the fact that it's Rosh Chodesh is concealed, or that the appointed day. And the pasuk continues, "Tichoyk li'Yisraelu." It's a law for Yisrael, mishpat for the K Yaakov, a judgment for the God of Yaakov, Uchtiv, and the next pasuk continues after that. Egos be Yosef Samai, he made it a testimony for Yosef, which is Yosef, the extra hey was added to his name in the source of that he withstood Potiphar's wife, Bitsesal Eretz Mitzrayim, when he went out as the ruler over the entire land of Mitzrayim, Sfasli Adaiti Eshma, a language that I never knew, I'm able to understand, because Gabriel, or the Malach Gabriel, had come and taught him all the 70 languages so that he'd be able to be Mishnah LeMalach. So we see, in other words, that the pasuk is associating the Tikkun B'Chodesh Shofar with Eidus B'Yosef Samoy. So we see. So when was the Tzei Se'ala Eretz Mitzrayim? It was all the same day. He got out of jail. He interpreted Paro's dreams, and on the spot, Paro made him prime minister, etc. So therefore, so we see that all that took place on Rosh Hashanah. Marsha points out there's a symbolism in that. We know that we know famously that the hay that was taken away from Sarah's name was added to Yosef's name, and later on it was added to the yud was added to Yeshua's name. So the idea being that the hay, the second hay of the name Yudke Vovke represents Malchus. So therefore Rosh Hashanah, which is the day of Hashem's Malchus, was added to Yosef, and with that he was able to become the Melech, or the Mishnah Melech. And the same thing with Yeshua, who's also considered to a certain extent like a Melech. So therefore, that's why Dafka the Hay was added to their names in token of that. The Hay to, because Yosef becomes Yehoisef. And Yeshua, Marsha isn't explaining, but maybe there's a couple of places, and there's one place in Tanakh where Yeshua is called Yeshua without the Hay, and you have the Kohen Gadol, the first Kohen Gadol, the second Mishnah, which is also sometimes called that, so maybe Marsha is understanding that the Hay from Sarah's name was actually added to his name as well to make Yehoshua. Usually we understand that it was started out as Hoshea, and then the Yud that was taken out of Sarah's name was coming out of Sarah. His name was complaining, and Hashem put it to Yeshua, but Marsha is apparently understanding that also we can say that the hay that went to Yosef afterwards went to Yeshua, who after all is a descendant of Yosef. So it's all associated, he says, with Malchus. The Oruch HaNer points out also another meaning of the Sasli Adaiti Eshma. It also has to do with, we know when Yosef came for his audience with Paro, so he didn't know the 70 languages, Malach Gabriel and taught him, then he's trying to speak to Paro in Lashon Kodesh, and Paro can't pick it up, and then he has to swear Yosef to secrecy, because otherwise they'll depose him. So that's all part of, he says, the vote is, in other words, Hashem arranged all of that to happen, so that Yosef has a certain rulership even over Paro, and that makes, that brings in a sin that later on the Jewish people in Mitzrayim are going to be able to also be freed from that and be able to overcome the Mitzrayim because of that Nesinas Koyach that was first given by Yosef being able to be higher than Paro even. So the Sasli Adaiti Eshma, in other words, is not just Yosef saying, here there's languages that I never knew before and now I understand them as a result of Malach Gabriel. It also means, it also has a nuance, Paro is saying Sasli Adaiti Eshma, look at that, there's a language that I'm hearing you speak, Yosef, I'm hearing you speak Lashon Kodesh, and I don't understand it. And therefore, I have no choice but to appoint you Mishnah LeMelech and to swear you to secrecy. But Rosh Hashanah Batla Avodah Ma'aseinu Mitzrayim Menolon. Where do we see that in Rosh Hashanah the slavery was ended from our ancestors in Mitzrayim, as we learned yesterday? Because in particular Makas Kinim happened then. But where do we know that? Menolon Asya Svila Svila. We learn by the comparison of the word Sevel. Hashem promises that he's going to take the Jewish people out from under the burdens of Mitzrayim. In Kapitel Pe'alef, following the same sukkim that we were quoting before, it continues, Hashem says, I took away his shoulder from the burden. So now Marsha points out, the fact is, we know that Yosef was a slave in Mitzrayim, and we know he was in jail for 12 years. We don't specifically find that he was carrying heavy burdens on his shoulders, that we should say on him, Hasiroisi Nisevel Shechmai. Therefore, the Gemara's understanding that and goes together with the following psukim, which is clearly talking about the Jewish people collectively, which is all talking about the Jewish people collectively, and therefore the Gemara is understanding that refers to the Jewish people as well, and therefore that teaches us that their slavery was, that their hard burdens were over on Rosh Hashanah, even though the actual Yetzias Mitzrayim wasn't until 6.5 months later, but already at that point, the Mitzrayim gave up trying to enslave them. So primarily it says elsewhere that because Makas Kinim happened beginning at the beginning of Tishrei, and they couldn't have them make bricks anymore because there's no dirt to make bricks with, and so even after that they didn't bother trying to re-enslave them. Yes. Okay. The Nissan Nigalu, next. Rabbi Yeshua had said that the Yetzias Mitzrayim took place in Nissan. Well, Kinissa, it says in the Pesukim that it was in Nissan. Now, so first, Rabbi Eliezer had said that there's a difference between the Geula from Mitzrayim and the Geula Amitis Vashlema. The one from Mitzrayim was in Nissan, but the Geula Hasida is going to be in Tishrei. So Nissan Nigalu Kadeso, but Tishrei Hasid and Ligol Manolan. Where do we know, says Rabbi Eliezer, that the Geula is going to be in Tishrei? Ask your shofar, because we make a Zeta Shabbat on the word shofar. Here we have where it refers to blowing the shofar. The great shofar will be blown, etc., and they'll all come to Eretz Yisrael, which is Kibbutz Golias, which is one of the stages of Yemos Mashiach. Therefore, Rabbi Eliezer says, you see that those two things are going to happen that those two things are associated. The Tkias shofar of Rosh Hashanah has to do with Kibbutz Golias. And of course, we say that Pasuk is one of the shofaris in Musaf of Rosh Hashanah. Rabbi Sadi Goin, in fact, mentions when he gives 10 reasons why we blow shofar on Rosh Hashanah, and one of them is exactly that, to remind us to look forward to the Gola Amitis Vashlema, which is associated with the shofar Gadol. What? Benissa, we don't blow shofar. That's why Rabbi Eliezer is saying that it has to be in Tishrei. The Orochoner points out, by the way, he says, so why isn't Rabbi Eliezer learning from the shofar of Matan Torah and say it's going to be in Sivan? He says two possibilities. Either because by Matan Torah it doesn't use the word tkia, whereas here in Tikku b'chol shofar and Yitoka b'shofar Godot, both of them it says the word tkia. Second of all, he says, because again, we have to go back to the pasuk where it says, kichot l'yisrael mishpat lo kayakov, so Yitzias Mitzrayim, so the Geula, the Torah, the giving of the Torah is not specifically associated with mishpat, with Hashem's midah of gvura, of din. But the Geula Amitis Vashlema is associated with Hashem's mishpat, as it says in Hazinu, Ki Yodin Hashem Ame V'Alavodi V'Snecham, that Hashem is going to judge and stand up for His people because He realizes that they're almost goners, Chas V'Shalom. So we see that the Geula Amitis Vashlema is going to come through Hashem's midah of Gvura, and therefore that's why Rabbi Eliezer is saying that's associated with the mishpat, the Kayakov of Tishrei. On the other hand, Rabbi Yeshua, Mibnissan, Nigel, or Venissan are sitting in the Gaul, and all on. Rabbi Yeshua is saying that the Gaul Amitis Vashlema will also be in, Maushal also points out, by the way, the shofar represents freedom and Gaula. So we said that's why the Jewish people were freed from their slavery on Rosh Hashanah, because they're, like this, we have the shofar blown on Rosh Hashanah, symbolizes freedom, so they got their freedom then, and in fact, it also represents freedom from the Satan. He brings from a Medrash that, like this, every year when we blow shofar on Rosh Hashanah, the Satan gets confused. We're going to talk about that later on in the Perek, because the Satan thinks this might be the shofar Gadol, and then that's it, I'm finished, my time is over. So that confuses him, so he's not the Catholic anymore. So we see that the shofar is associated with freedom. Of course, it's also associated with freedom when it comes to the Yovel. Anyway, Rabbi Yeshua, Imam Nissan, Nigel, or Nissan, Asid, and Ligol, Manolan. Where does Rabbi Yeshua get that the Geula Amitis Vashlema is going to be in Nissan? Dichtiv, the Pasuk says, Leil Shimurim Hu LaHashem. It's a night of guarding for Hashem. That means Laila Hamashumar Abal Mishesh Mebereshis. It's the night which is guarded and reserved ever since Sheshes Mebereshis. That it's going to be the time of Geula. And it continues Shimurim Lachol Bnei Yisrael V'Dardosim Laila Hamashumar La'asid Lavoi means it's going to be guarded and reserved for all future generations. So what is Rabbi Eliezer answer to that? He who says that the Geula is going to come in Tishrei, he says, Ahu Laila Mashumo Vamina Mazikin, that's something else. It means Leil Shimurim, it's a night which is guarded from Mazikin. which Tosfos points out, Rabbi Yeshua agrees to that as well. Rabbi Yeshua just says, you can learn both things from it. The fact is, the Gemara in Pesachim talks about, we learned not so long ago, at the end of Pesachim, that even though you have the whole issue of zugos, of eating and drinking in pairs, nevertheless, the Chachamim could make the Dalad Tosfos on Pesach night and not worry about Mazikim, because Leil Shimurim, for that reason, we only say the first parasha of Shema, the first night of Pesach. For that reason, we open the door by Shvoi Chamosa. For that reason, when the first night Pesach comes out on Shabbos, we don't say Brocha Hasmein Sheva. All of those things have to do with Mazikim, and none of that applies Pesach night. So fine, Rabbi Yeshua agrees that we can learn that from the Pasuk as well, but you can also learn that it's reserved for all the Geulas of future times, whereas Rabbi Eliezer holds not so. The Geulah Mitzvah Shlema is going to be in Tishrei. And again, like we talked yesterday, of course, Eilu Ve'Eilu Divrei Elokim Chayim, and B'chlal, we talked about the Turei Eben and a number of other Mephoshim deal with the question that we know Mashiach can come any time. So among them are, again, there's different stages in Yemos Mashiach, some of which can be in Nisan and some during Tishrei, plus also you have, they also represent two different ways in which we and the Eivishter relate to each other. It's the Rosh HaDela'ilo or it's the Rosh HaDela'asata. So it's not so much the actual calendar date when Mashiach will come, but rather what kind of Ashpa is it going to be, Mimata L'Mayla, which is Mimata L'Mayla, which is the Tishrei style, or Mimata L'Mata, which is the Nisan style.
Now
we're coming into Nissan. Be that as it may, it should be it's already been delayed long enough. Tishrei, Nissan, Shvat, whatever it is, and Adar, whatever it is, Mashiach should just come already. Okay. Yom Yom Mashiach Gola, your daughter Aleph. So actually, the Rebbe talks about, we're now already, it's high time for Mashiach to Kenu to come. Hine zeh melech ha-Mashiach ba. So now, this was Mishpat in Toshin Nun Beis, the Rebbe was talking about the disarmament treaties that were taking place at that time in the UN and whatever. So we already see a me'ein, a beginning of the pa'ula of melech ha-Mashiach on the nations, as the Pasuk says, he's going to judge and reconcile between the nations and tell off the peoples what to do and what not to do. And they'll beat their swords into plow blades and so forth. Hashem is putting into the minds of the Malachim, of the rulers of the Umas Olam, which are after all Lev Malachim Misar Miyad Hashem, that they're talking about disarmament and literally taking the swords and taking nuclear weapons as they were talking about at that time and using them for peaceful ends. So that was all a Me'ein, that's already a Me'ein of Mashiach Sashva on the world. Continuing on Halachas of Malachas on Shabbos, you're not allowed to pour hot soup over pieces of bread or matzah. What you should do is first pour the soup into the bowl, let it cool off a little bit until it's ready to eat, meaning after that it defines. It's not yet, so let it spoil, and then you can put the bread or the matzah or the croutons or whatever into it. As long as it's boiling, as long as it's hotter than Yatsiladisboy, even when it's in a bowl, then you can't do that, because even though it's in a plisheni or shlishi or whatever, it can still be mevashal or dover gush, bread or things like that, or a dover gush, they retain their heat, and therefore you have an issue with it. Similarly, also as far as putting salt or spices into soup. Now, the Alter Rebbe holds, if it's a klisheni, then you can put spices into it. You certainly can't put them into the pot. You'd have to wait until the pot cools off that it's roi la'achila. The Alter Rebbe says, actually, don't put it in a klisheni, even if it's not yet. So let us buy. When you have salt that's made through cooking, as I think much salt is made nowadays, yesh mekilin, then some are mekel, because ain bishol acha bishol. Amachmo, is that tov el abram? Another example is making tea or coffee. You're going to put a tea bag, or you're going to put coffee grounds into a keli, and you have sugar there as well. So no, first put the coffee or the tea into the cup that you're going to drink from, and then put the sugar in. For the same reason, in order not to have an issue of bishul and klirishin or klishin. But makom tzorach, where it's necessary, then yesh lahakol.